This is West Virginia Morning. I'm John Cantese. Governor Tomlin gave his State of the State address last night in the House chamber. As Ashton Mara reports, the speech focused on ways he believes he and the new Republican majority can work together to move the state forward.
Governor Tomlin began his address recounting the first State of the State he attended as a young delegate, listening as recently passed Republican Governor Arch Moore addressed a joint meeting of lawmakers. Tomlin touted the financial success the state is seeing from fiscally prudent decisions made in recent years, from the strength of the state's more than $800 million rainy day fund to the accomplishments in paying off workers' compensation debt. Tomlin says the state is in good financial health. From fiscal health, Tomlin moved to industry, noting the growth in the state's Marcellus Shale region. The governor says he'll ask for a study focused on worker safety at drilling sites, similar to initiatives the state has taken on in the past for coal miners. But more than worker safety, Tomlin says it's time for West Virginia to start exploring its financial options in the industry as well.
I've directed the Department of Revenue to launch a comprehensive review of our state's public lands, to identify opportunities where West Virginia can take advantage of this energy revolution. We have the potential to secure hundreds of millions of dollars in bonus and royalty payments.
2015's address was far less focused on education than in previous years. Tomlin spoke of the importance of a skilled workforce and the part community and technical colleges play in that development. But as far as the state's public schools, the governor made mention of only one piece of legislation. Tomlin says he will introduce a bill making it easier for professionals to transition into the classroom without returning to school for a teaching degree.
We need to find ways to streamline the process and encourage those who have a passion to teach so that they can share their knowledge with our kids. We must give local school systems better flexibility to train and hire subject matter experts to fill long-term vacancies in critical subject areas.
Infrastructure continues to be an issue for West Virginia, but Tomlin made no mention of a new source for funding the maintenance and expansion of the state's aging highway system. The governor's Blue Ribbon Commission on Highways was created in 2012 to study the state's roads and find sources of revenue for its upkeep. The commission was scheduled to release its recommendations for that funding before the 2014 legislative session, but for the second year in a row, Tomlin made no mention of the study nor new funding for highways. Instead, Tomlin focused on pressuring the federal government to shore up dollars for the state and continuing tolls on the West Virginia Turnpike, which will expire in 2019.
When highway funding is hard to come by, eliminating more than $85 million in dedicated revenues to maintain our state's highways is irresponsible. This year, 84% of all tolls collected on the West Virginia Turnpike were collected from out-of-state drivers and commercial vehicles. Instead of eliminating tolls, we need to work together to identify alternative ways to minimize the impact on our residents who travel the Turnpike each and every day.
Tomlin will, however, present the recommendations of another group in the form of legislation. The governor's Juvenile Justice Task Force completed their recommendations in December, taking on the juvenile prison system in the state, much like the Justice Reinvestment Act of 2013 took on the adult prison system. The bill requires all 55 county school systems hire a truancy diversion specialist to work with students and their families.
At a cost of $4.5 million, this legislation is projected to reduce the number of DHHR residential placements and Division of Juvenile Services commitments by at least 40% over the next 5 years, and will save taxpayers $59 million.
Thursday, Tomlin's Revenue Secretary Bob Kiss and staff will detail the governor's budget proposal for lawmakers during the first Finance Committee meetings of the session. That budget includes some $70 million in program cuts and more than $68 million from the state's Rainy Day Fund. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
Leading up to the session, many lawmakers have discussed the possibility of revisiting Senate Bill 373, the bill that created the above-ground storage tank regulation and inspection program. Tomlin made no mention of the bill during the address, nor the chemical leak itself. Yesterday, we heard a report about health effects associated with polluted water and what kinds of illnesses might indicate that you've come into contact with it. Glennis Board continues our series on water quality.
For all the concern about water compromised by industrial and natural sources and the cancer, decay, infection, and disease that can come with that contamination, the director of the West Virginia Water Research Institute, Paul Zimkevich, says hands down and by a long shot, the biggest threat in water supplies in southern West Virginia and many other areas in the state is raw sewage.
Anything pales in comparison. Any contaminant you can think of pales in comparison to raw, untreated sewage.
We're talking about bacteria, parasites, viruses that can cause short-term problems like diarrhea, eye infections, respiratory disease, and long-term problems like cancer, dementia, and diabetes. And there are growing concerns about potential illnesses or effects from exposure to pharmaceuticals and synthetic hormones introduced through sewage. Maggie Nevi is the project coordinator for the Wastewater Treatment Coalition in McDowell County. The coalition's main objective is to end the practice of straight piping.
Right now, 67% of the county has no form of wastewater treatment whatsoever, and they do what's called straight piping, which is exactly what it sounds like. You take a PVC pipe, you run every drain from your sink, your shower, your tub, your washing machine, and your toilet, and it all goes straight into the creek.
The idea behind her Wastewater Treatment Coalition is to improve the health and well-being of the people who live in McDowell County, of course, but also for the people who want to visit the area. She explains how the county has been benefiting from state investments, like with the Hatfield and McCoy Trail system, for example. But Nevi says right now, ATV enthusiasts that visit should probably be concerned.
They pretty much could be riding through raw sewage, depending on the area that they're in.
Nevi says she worries about eye, ear, nose, and throat infections, especially for ATV riders who splash through creeks without helmets or goggles. Nevi says her coalition is taking steps to mitigate problems in some areas of concern. In the small community of Ashland, for example, they established a wetland which absorbs and cleans up a lot of crap.
The DEP's acceptable rate for fecal chloroform per milliliter is like 200 parts per milliliter, and in our swabs that we took of Ashland before we put the system in, it was 200,000.
Back at the West Virginia Water Research Institute, Director Paul Zimkevich says 67% of homes in McDowell County not having sewage treatment is a public health crisis. He explains that many of the pathogens you might encounter can't be killed off by boiling water, but
you don't boil water to take a shower. The kids play in the little plastic pool out back. Are you boiling all that water too? Yeah. People drink this stuff. They get in contact with it. You don't boil the water before you wash your face. This stuff gets onto your person, and that's bad stuff.
In fact, whenever Zimkevich or any researchers from his team study water in the area, he requires inoculations for hepatitis B and C. And water studies are underway. West Virginia University's School of Public Health is currently studying samples from throughout southern West Virginia in an effort to grasp a finer understanding of chronic and acute problems the community faces with water supply issues. But let me make one point perfectly clear. These problems might exist in southern West Virginia to a larger degree, but raw sewage, naturally occurring manganese, and industrial impairment are problems that exist all through the state and region. Public health expert from WVU, Michael McCauley, says it falls on not only citizens within southern counties to be educated about risks and searching and moving toward solutions, but all citizens throughout the state and beyond. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.
Join us tomorrow morning to hear the final installment of this week's Water Series. Jessica Lilly looks at what it takes to bring municipal water to rural communities in southern West Virginia. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:54. Today's forecast is mostly cloudy with a mix of snow and rain this afternoon. Highs in the 30s to near 40 degrees. Tonight will be partly cloudy, windy, and cold with a chance of scattered flurries. lows in the teens and the upper 20s. Tomorrow it's going to be cloudy with a chance of scattered morning snow flurries, highs in the 30s, some 20s, and in higher elevations.
Support for this weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. And support is provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Visit wvdrs.org for employer services.
The West Virginia Board of Education rescinded a proposal yesterday on teaching requirements for science standards on climate change. Roxy Todd reports board members heard heated comments during their meeting from both sides of the debate.
Should West Virginia science teachers continue to teach climate change as a scientific fact or as a debatable theory? Over 100 people flooded the boardroom at the state capitol, many of them because of a controversial addition to the science curriculum for K through 12 students. Recognizing their concerns, the board voted to place the proposal back on a 30-day public comment period. The vote came at the suggestion of Clayton Birch, the Department of Education's chief academic officer.
It's important to make sure we get it right. There's time. Our recommendation is that we withdraw the policy and we place a... And we place a policy on comment that is a version that is aligned to the Next Generation Science Standards.
Next Generation is West Virginia's version of Common Core. About seven people spoke against the motion to withdraw the policy. Two were staff of CFAC, a D.C.-based nonprofit that promotes the theory that global warming is caused by natural cycles in the Earth's atmosphere.
Let me categorically state up front, there is absolutely no scientific consensus on the issue of climate change.
This is Craig Rucker, who lives in Virginia and makes over $100,000 working to generate more public debate about climate change. Rucker has also been mentoring a Marshall University student, Caitlin Grimes, a political science major who told the board they are wrong to continue to teach climate change as dogma.
The result is a generation who assume man-made climate change fears are in fact a fact, when it is in fact nothing more than unproved theory that is being passed off as such.
That humans are causing climate change is a fact, according to the International Panel on Climate Change. Here in West Virginia, however, that opinion is debated by some. But not all West Virginians are climate deniers. Jim Sconyers lives in Preston County and is a retired math and science teacher. He's also president of the West Virginia Sierra Club and says climate change is not a theory, but a fact.
As a teacher, I would have been furious to be required to espouse falsehoods and propaganda from the fossil fuel industry's well-oiled disinformation campaign as science. I am really sorry to see that this episode has made West Virginia a national and international laughingstock.
A dozen environmentalists like Sconyers spoke against the new science standards that would encourage students to debate climate change as a theory. The changes to the standards were made last fall at the request of state school board member Wade Linger. He had said he didn't believe human-influenced climate change is a foregone conclusion.
I simply ask that people actually look at the wording of the proposed standards and ask themselves, does that really restrict the students from being taught all of the theories about global warming? And it restricts nothing.
Although the board voted to withdraw the policy with Linger's changes, the way climate change is taught in public schools in West Virginia could continue to be a debate. Beginning next week, the public will have 30 days to comment on the latest version of the state's scientific standards for a policy that will go into effect July 2016. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Charleston.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments, so send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for WV Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Bob Powell, and I'm John Cantese.